paid $650 million to the U.S. government to acquire it. And it, from our perspective, it was a very unique opportunity to really do something different than what the airline company has done, because the airline company has created such a great platform for all of us. And we had an ability to go and create something that we believe would have an edge, which is a TOD. And everybody talks about, you know, the fact that we have a TOD district. We internally say that, you know, the whole park, all 3,700 acres are TOD. And that's how we would like to think about it. And one of the things that attracted us to Eldorado, besides, you know, obviously control of real estate in the heart of Orange County, it was the great park, but that was supposed to be, or it is supposed to be, as well as the train station. And those are the amenities that we looked at. So we got in and we got involved in the project. And today when I look at El Toro, just let me take a step back, because at the same time almost, Kurt Prinkle talked about the Platinum Triangle. We got involved in the Platinum Triangle, and Lennar became the largest owner of real estate in the Platinum Triangle, because from where I was looking at it, saying, okay, one of the most important things about DOD, or one of the biggest issues that we're going to have to deal with as a developer, is training people to think and changing habits, because we can talk about this as much as we want. Unless we change people's habits and have them start thinking differently, it's going to be a problem. And the only way you change habits is to make it easier for them to use mass transit. So we started looking, saying, okay, well, if we're involved in the Platinum Triangle, and there's going to be about 15,000, as Kurt said, ultimately homes, 15 million square feet over there. When you look at the Great Park and you look at everything that's happening around it at the spectrum, there's potentially another 10,000, 15,000 millions of square feet. And if we can take those two, connect them with train station, and create interconnectivity between them, we now would be able to get involved in two new hubs that can connect the two areas and make them complementary. And with everything that's happening in Anaheim, we got excited about the fact that we could play a role in changing the way people live, because then there's a reason for somebody to come take a bike or whatever it takes to the train station in Irvine to go to Anaheim to either watch a game or do whatever they want to do, and vice versa. So that was our thinking behind it. So what's unique about El Toro, and why do we look at El Toro as a great example of a TOD? You have a park that's going to be 1,300 acres. This is going to be twice the size of Central Park, and this is going to be supposed to be the largest metropolitan park in the United States. Well, from my perspective, and I'll say it the way I see it, you're not going to have a metro park if you don't have the right uses around it. It's just going to become a large green park, and that's the fight we always, you know, fight. You're going to have to think that what needs to be around it needs to be something that makes it a metro park. Central Park wouldn't be Central Park in New York if it didn't, it wasn't in the heart of New York. And we're not saying let's go ahead and create New York. We can't get it. But what we need to do is we need to create a purpose for people to come to the Great Park. And I'm not sure that people go to New York to go to Central Park. I think people who are in New York end up going to Central Park. So one of the things we've been talking about is, how do we take the train station, and how do we build around the train station a true mixed-use community? I mean, if you're asking me today what happens around the train station and how we can create a dynamic mixed-use community around it, becomes the gateway to the park. It connects it. If I dream of that area around the train station connecting to the spectrum and everything over there, and that becomes downtown Orange County. Downtown Irvine, don't go as far as Orange County. If that becomes downtown Irvine, and people have a reason to come from different places, take the train to come do whatever they want to do over there, whether it's sports, whether it is entertainment, whether it is anything you want, combined with some residential around it where you create life 24 hours, for people to be there 24 hours, then when people go there, and if we can open it up to the Great Park, from my perspective, the Great Park becomes a different park. Now you connect the dots to the high speed rail, and one of the things we need to do with the park is have people come from further distances. You need people to be there. The park needs to be alive 24 hours. And that's my view on it, is that what's being discussed over here with what we're thinking of allows us to go ahead and take what is been envisioned for the Great Park and turn it into something that really fits at least the dream that people have about what it's going to be. And I'm excited that this discussion is taking place. Obviously, I am very supportive of this. I am very alarmed by, obviously, a lot of what we heard this morning. And I can tell you, and I'll leave it with that, because you know, I'll be remiss if I don't whine as a developer, so I'll throw in my two as well, and I'll leave with that. Like, the challenges we have are that a lot of times when we're dealing with different agencies, everybody wants to deal with the issue looking, as I said, through the rearview mirror, because it's been working that way. And you know, we have a lot of discussions with the city of Irvine, we have a lot of discussions with the county of LA about transportation and traffic studies and things like that. And it's easy to go and apply what was used before, but the reality is, if we're going to be talking about this, we need to take this into consideration when we're thinking about, you know, traffic studies. A simple example, for instance. Otherwise, there's no encouragement. I'll go to SB 375 for a second, and I probably will leave that. It's a great thing, but it has an exemption of CEQA of 200 units. Well, how is that going to help me use it on the Great Park? The thinking that all of these deals is simply taking small pockets in downtown LA or something like that and creating that is a myth. Because I'll tell you what one of the biggest challenges we have. High density construction doesn't benefit. It doesn't work. I mean, I've built high rises and I've been burned with high rises. Because construction cost doesn't work, and we need to think about how do we encourage the developers start going vertical with the type of products. I'll give you a last example. We fought a few years ago. Over here in California, you can't keep more than 3% deposit from a buyer. That's it. It's that. So if somebody comes buys a home, gives you 3%, if they decide to cancel, the maximum you can keep is 3%. That's okay for a single family detached home that's gonna be built over 4 months. That's the risk you're taking. When you start getting into these type of projects, and you're building a high rise, it's gonna take 2.5 years, I can't finance that project. Because I'm giving somebody a free option, and when I go to an equity source or a debt source and say, come put money into these deals, they say, well how are, 2 years from now, the world could be different, and it's only 3% that you're gonna keep, so that's not gonna work. So we lobbied hard in Sacramento about changing the rules for urban development and redevelopment, these type of projects, so we can be encouraged to go ahead and do it.